This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Everybody, to open the voice gate. This is, I think, the closest together we've ever done two episodes, which is really cool. But we wanted to get an episode out right after Dead or Alive, because Dead or Alive, first of all, we all saw it, and second of all, it was amazing. And we also wanted to try to get an episode out before King of Gate, because despite what we said in the last episode, we did not really preview King of Gate at all. We just kind of ran out of time. But so this will be a shorter episode, since all we're talking about is one big show in Dead or Alive, and then previewing King of Gate. So hopefully it'll be shorter. Mm-hmm. So Dead or Alive is a fun show name to bring up, because the ongoing saga of the co-hosts, are they dead or are they alive? We have the Ouija board that can tell us, help us communicate with Case from beyond the grave. Is Case alive? Why?
This week, I'm alive. I'm sick. I'm on my deathbed, but I'm alive.
But Dylan is dead.
Yep.
So Dead or Alive saga on Open the Voice Gate continues. We got Case back. We found where in the world was Case San Diego, but we lost Dylan. So it's very upsetting.
Who knows?
R.I.P. Dylan.
Who's next?
Yes. I mean, you can't really lose me, because without me, you can't record the podcast. I'm just saying, if I can't do it, there really is no Open the Voice Gate. So, yeah. Jules, is your hair really that green still?
John, my hair. I cut off all of my hair.
Oh, yeah, you did. So you need to update your Skype picture. I'm just staring. At the green in your hair, the green is not.
Well, I'm going to re-dye it before my birthday, so.
Okay. What that has to do with Dragon Gate, I don't know. Oh, Jules, you can plug, might as well just plug it at the start. Fashion, hair, what are you doing with our friend of the podcast, Inside the Gatecast?
I wanted to keep this a secret for as long as possible, but we're going to do an Open the Fashion Gate podcast. I've been having a lot of fun just, like, kind of ripping Dragon Gate fashion into shreds, and now I have a buddy to do it with. So we're going to talk about, like, units, like, gear and design and colors and symbolism, and why the hell does Seahawk dress like a 1970s lounge singer?
Yes. So look out for that, folks. Jules and Michael are going to record that tomorrow, so that'll be on Inside the Gate. Cheap plug for our sister Dragon Gate podcast, let's call them. I've been on their podcast. They've been on my podcast. Everything's we're big fans of each other, I think. And Jules is going to be on their podcast now.
It's a quote unquote Dragon Gate Twitter.
Yes. All right, so let's get right into Dead or Alive here. No need to waste any more time talking about hair. Dead or Alive was this past Cinco de Mayo, actually, on May 5th.
But for us, you know, for us white people, it was Thursday.
I didn't do anything special. I was actually sick and, like, you know, sitting at home. I usually don't do anything on Cinco de Mayo because it feels kind of ridiculous to go out and drink because another country won a war against white oppressors. It's like, we're literally white. Okay. We don't really have to get into that, but yeah, Donald Trump and his Taco Bowl, everybody. That if there was ever an image of white people in Cinco de Mayo. All right. So Dead or Alive, May 5th. I don't think, is Cinco de Mayo a thing in Japan? I don't think it is. I don't think they know what that is. So as far as Japan was concerned,
it was
Dead or Alive Day. Oh, yeah, it is Golden Week. That's true. Golden Week, for people who don't know, is when basically the entire fucking country of Japan gets the week off. So do not travel on Golden Week. If you're going to Japan, do not go the first week of May because everything will be super expensive because all of Japan is traveling, basically. So, so Golden Week. And this
going,
was in,
going October 2017.
Yes, that's where we're all going, apparently. All right, so Dead or Alive, happening during Golden Week, claimed 6,000 attendance, probably exaggerated a little bit, but it looked pretty full on the camera, I thought. Yeah, good crowd. The opening six-man tag, podcast favorite L. Lindemann, teams up with Kaito Ishida and Takahiro Yamamura to take on Genki Horiguchi, Jimmy Kness, and our poor little UT, and three guesses who got pinned here. First two don't count. Lindemann pinned UT. Six
minutes. Leave him alone!
With the Locomotion Tiger. I don't really remember why.
I was actually really surprised that Linda pinned UT. I was definitely expecting Hiro Kaito to do it.
Yeah, it's like they're continuing the Linda push, I guess, from the Korakuen show I was at. You know?
I think he had to throw that in there that you were at Korakuen Hall.
The Korakuen show,
Humble Brag,
where I personally saw Lindemann tap out T-Hawk. I like to think he was inspired by my presence.
He saw the white people in the crowd. He knew he had to really turn it up.
It's funny because there was an entire separate row of white people in the row right behind us. Like, had nothing to do with our trip. Like, they were like the other foreigners that apparently asked Jay for tickets. So there were a lot of foreigners in the audience. The ones behind us had no idea what the hell they were watching though.
Really?
I don't know why they were there. There was like one person out of maybe six that was trying to explain things, and even he didn't really seem to know what was going on. And the rest of them were like, "What's wrestling? What's a two count?" So yeah, it was something being in front of those people. But anyway, so Lindemann pinned UT. Anyone got any thoughts on this opener? I don't really remember much
about
it.
Just surprised that it wasn't Yamamura or Ishida that pinned UT. That would have continued that story that they got going on, but other than that, you know, those matches are obviously a showcase for Linda. So
yeah, I don't remember a thing Genki Horiguchi did in this match.
I think he did the elastic band spot, and that's
yes, he definitely did the elastic band. I remember that now. Yep.
That's literally what everything that he did. That's all.
All right, so let's get into the good stuff here. Open the Brave Gate Championship match. Yosuke Santa Maria defeating Mandai Ryu in a little under 13 minutes with the Nariachi. First of all, I can't believe it's only less than 13 minutes. I thought that match felt longer. But this match was awesome.
I loved it.
Like, I would legit go 4 stars on it. It was that good. And, like, Maria, like,
she was hulking out, man.
Yeah, she sells and sells and sells.
She was hulking the fuck out at the end.
She hulks out.
She holds the fuck out and she, like, pummels Mandai Ryu. Not in that way, but
the jokes at the start were kind of funny, too, where she did not, like, she was really grossed out by him.
Yeah, she was, like, barfing.
Yeah.
Man, it was really good.
I will give Mandai Ryu some credit here, because he had no one from Berserk out there with him. He really didn't cheat that much. He just had the one chair shot, and that was it. And he carried himself in this match, and he did a That shooting star press after the chair shot, that actually, I thought that was the best.
I was going to say, that's a sweet shooting star press he has. I don't picture him as like an athletic person, but he's got a sweet shooting star.
But did you buy that? Did you see the spoiled or unspoiled case?
I saw this match unspoiled. There were a few that I knew going in. This was not one of them, so I did buy that near fall. I gave this match 3.75. I thought Santa Maria's forearms towards the end of the match when Mondai was in the ropes like totally won me over. I was like, that's a new side of Yosuke that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, that's
loved
what
it.
I say she was hulking out.
Yes, when she's been doing this a little
she
bit
was
for
like,
a
Maria
while now.
Smash.
but when she gets all like pissed off, like she actually like she fucking hits people.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
That was
like
beautiful.
She kills
Are
them.
Are you kidding me?
She at this point for the Observer Award, she's my most improved. When you factor in that Mochizuki match from December, because that's on the Observer calendar, I mean, there's no one close. I mean, she went from being a lower card comedy act to a really good champion at this point.
Yep.
She gets my metaphorical votes because I don't vote in those things, but she gets.
Yeah,
like,
I would. I probably vote for her too. I don't know who the hell else would even be close. But yeah, I mean, awesome match, and Maria makes her second defense for the Brave Gate, which is quite adorably decorated now. Like, open the Love Gate. That's quite the bell.
Rue Gunn approves of the Open the Love Gate, so you know it's, like, certifiably cute in the wrestling world.
Absolutely.
All right, so we start now the delegate selection matches, and the first one was to decide CyberKong's delegate, KZ and Masaki Mochizuki. Credit to the podcast, all three of us last time, we all called KZ beating Mochizuki at the Skate Schoolboy.
Yes.
So way to go us.
That was so good.
That was this was probably the best of the delegate matches, I think.
I know that you have Yoshino versus Tozawa as the best of the delegate matches, I believe.
Yes, that's true. I loved this one. I had Yoshino Tozawa just a little bit higher.
I think for me, that was my favorite. That was just, oh my god.
I think the best part of the match was CyberKong, like, politely sitting at ringside.
My two favorite wrestlers.
That's fair, Jules. You're a little biased on this one. Yeah, CyberKong's at ringside, like, hands folded, like, just patiently waiting to see, like, who's his delegate. I love that aspect of the match, just because, like, I imagine CyberKong doing things in the real world sometimes, like, with his full gear on. And it's like, he has to go to Subway sometimes and order a sandwich, and I like to think that he does it with his mask on.
He's an oddly polite heel sometimes. It's kind of funny.
I've heard in person, like, in real life, he's actually really polite. I think it was Dave Prazak that said that. Like, CyberKong was, like, a super good dude.
Yeah. Oh, but
he's a really bad singer, though. Really bad.
So, yeah, this was awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know what else you got to say about it. This is one of the best 7.5-minute matches you'll see.
It was another example of KZ being outstanding this year. Like, Mochizuki's always great, but KZ, it's like, you watch him, and it's like something changed, and now he's just absolutely on fire.
Yeah, and I think they recognize that, too, giving him a bigger role now with this new unit.
I hope they give him a better role now with this new unit, because honestly, watching KZ from, I think that really started for me with his face turn, and just watching him and just wondering, like, banging my head against the walls. Why are they not doing more with that guy? What is wrong?
Yeah.
Did something happen backstage? What's going on? What's the problem? I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to, like, give him a bigger spot, because he's just so good at everything. And, like, honestly, I really hope that this new unit recruits maybe a young guy, just so that Casey doesn't have to be the last post. Because that would be a waste of him in that configuration.
Perhaps
I agree.
Futa Nakamura, who just made tape.
I wanted to go UT, but I really like
I guess UT's there also.
But I really like the little big Nakamura, so. He's sick.
Okay, so match 4. Shingo Takagi delegate selection. Jimmy Konda against Punch Tominaga. This match only went about 3.5 minutes. Konda wins with the reuse. Sorry?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I was totally sucked into this match to a point that I was, like, embarrassed because it's Kanda and Tamanaga, but I was, like, all in on this.
And I just want to point out that I said, both on the last episode of the podcast and in my Dead or Alive preview on my blog, Cheap Plug, that I thought this was going to be a hidden gem, and I was right. Just want everybody to acknowledge that.
Well, so Punch loses, and then, of course, Shingo being the biggest asshole on the entire planet, like, just kidnaps him and, like, tosses him out of the ring like he's garbage and just grabs him in a headlock and carries him to the back. And it's like, okay, you're an asshole. I don't like you. And I'm officially, like, I'm at the point now where I can't even be like, yeah, he's such a great heel. I'm just like, fuck him. Like, I can't separate them. Like, he has great matches still. But from a Mark standpoint, I really, like, his face just makes me want to, like, punch the television. I really hate him. But anyway, I'm glad he got his comeuppance, kind of.
Yeah.
In the main event, but
I can't believe he kidnapped Punch, though. Where the hell were his dads?
I don't know. The dads are getting ready for their own dad battle,
which we are going to talk about, and I'm not going to be happy.
The Yamato delegate selection was up next. This match is really funny because it's always funny when Stalker acts like he's gonna, like, actually do something and, like, won't go down. But the entire crowd thought that was it with that first Jumbo Nokachi, like, 10 seconds in. And he kicks out. The crowd's like, oh!
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts going for the La Magistral, and he's like, oh, maybe he's gonna pull it off. And then Sumo just hits him with the lariat again and pins him.
Stalker hit an Everest German suplex in this match that I don't know if Takayama's hit one as pretty. And then Susumu just, like, it was intentional, I have a feeling it was, but, like, the 2.9 kick out, and he throws his shoulder up just to pop the crown, and then he took his head off a minute later. But this was another one of those matches where, like, you can't skip this. It was just too entertaining.
But, yes, I don't know what else. Stalker becomes Yamato's delegate, and Yamato was clearly not happy with this delegate. I mean, who the fuck would be happy with Stalker Ichikawa as your delegate, but... You know, at least he showed up with a very long stick. What was that?
I said Yamato's got bigger things to worry about.
Yeah, that's true.
It's an interesting contrast of, like, the ugliest person in the world in Stalker Ichikawa and, like, maybe the most beautiful person in the world in Yamato. I thought that was interesting.
That was a great observation by Case here.
Thank you. I'm not sure why I'm not on Open the Fashion Gate. I deserve to be.
What?
Up next was the Naoki Tanizaki delegate selection. This match I was probably looking forward to more than anything else, because two of my favorites.
The Bicycle
only
Brothers
went,
colliding.
The Bicycle Brothers colliding. after, like, what, 15 years after that?
Probably.
I think the angle was 2000. No, the angle was 2001, 2002, something like that. It was definitely around the... It was around the same time as the T2P thing, so I think it, like, yeah, a 102 or something. Anyway, so Don Fuji defeats Ryo Saito in about 4.5 minutes with the Gato Clutch. This was really fun while it lasted.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, another one of those matches where it's like, there's not much you can say on it other than watch it, because it was so short, but it was so much fun.
Yeah. And then Naoki seemed okay with Saito as a delegate. Wasn't really any... What's that?
I said weirdly okay. Like, there was a lot of, like, kind of weird, like, maybe I'm okay with you, maybe I'm not, I don't know. But there was one thing that made me really emotional a little later on in the show. But I'm keeping my I'm keeping my gay emotions under control for now.
Oh, boy.
When I know when they got back during the intermission, apparently Naoki said something like, or Ryu Saito tried to get a Mr. QQ chant started, and Naoki was like, that's fine for
tonight.
One night. Yeah, just for tonight.
That's not
okay.
The thing I was...
okay. So up next, we have the Naoki Doi delegate selection. Shima and Gamma end up going to a 10-minute a 10-minute time limit draw. Why? It's amazing. The two of them get in a match against each other, even when they've been buddies forever now, and it's like, right back to trying to kill each other. Like, tombstones on the floor. Let's go.
I can't believe this was a 10-minute draw. It felt like it lasted 45 minutes. Like, a bad Inoki draw from, like, the 70s. Like, that's what it reminded me of. Because every match was like, go, 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 and then Shiba just sits in a submission for a while. He's got a 10-minute time limit. He's just milking in this submission. It's like, oh, Shiba, we need to not do that.
All through the crowd, and it was just like trash dads doing their trash things, and it was.
This was not a good match.
It didn't. Really. Like, usually I would be all in on dad shenanigans, but this just did nothing for me.
It just felt really weird. Like, why are they both? Why are they so angry at each other all of a sudden? Like, it's just. Honestly. I guess it's like maybe the idea is supposed to be like they're good friends, but when they get together to fight, oh man, look out, they're going to go right back trying to kill each other. But yeah,
but
this wasn't very good.
It fell flat on its face.
Yeah. So Doi was unhappy. I forgot that he needs two pins at this point, so I was like, why is Doi so unhappy? He has two delegates, two people to help him. And if someone on Twitter was like, well, actually, because he needs two pins now instead of one, I'm like, oh, well, then I guess I would be unhappy too. But, yeah, he was not a happy camper.
Can we just, like, parenthesis, Doi's hair was a fucking mess.
Jules, I want to know if you'll understand this reference. I don't know if you will because you're French, and I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean. But he sort of looked like Lucas Scott of One Tree Hill, circa, like, season 3.
Okay, I don't understand that reference either.
I didn't think it's a weird demographic crossover that no one was going to understand. So that's where I was like, I can't tweet this because no one's going to get it. I'll try it out here. It fell flat on its face.
So everybody, Case is going to host a special episode next week called Dragon Gate Wrestlers as the CW Teen Drama Stars. Maybe he'll go by all the way back to Dawson's Creek. Who the fuck knows?
I will get to work on that.
All right, so the final delegate selection match. And it made sense to have this as the main event because whoever was the delegate here, whoever was the delegate here was in trouble. Yoshino and Tozawa. Go ahead, Case, since you said this was your favorite match.
I didn't even notice that I was gone.
Oh, sorry.
My internet completely went out while I was dying with laughter at Case's reference, and you guys just, like, kept going. Maybe I should be the one to die next.
I'm looking at the results, that's why, because I'm not looking at my Skype. Sorry.
Anyway,
I watched the show 24
hours
ago.
So it did look like that I won.
Okay, Jules, you understood my reference, thank God.
Yeah, silver works perfectly. Whatever the hell that was, no.
Yeah, that was not pretty. He needed to wear like an Abercrombie and Fitch shirt with that. That was just the kind of hair for it. As for Yoshino and Tozawa,
yeah,
it was just like, these are two of the best wrestlers in the world, and they're going to go out there, and they just did their thing for 7 minutes, and I just thought it was wonderful the way they did it. Now, there are going to be some people that are going to watch this, especially if they aren't huge Dragon Gate fans, and they're going to critique Tozawa's selling, especially because he popped back up pretty quickly on a few moves. But I'm like, it's a 10-minute time limit. He's working quick. He's trying not to lose. I'm going to move past that. Love this match.
Mm-mm. I think Mike was tweeting during the show, because we watched the show live, and when Tozawa lost, he was like, hashtag Dragon Gate political hits. It's like, oh, you want to go to WWE? Well, you're going bald.
I'll say this now.
Oh,
I forgot there was a rule that if you got a pinfall, the delegate was free. So when I saw the spoiler for the main event, I was, like, really concerned about bald Tozawa. And then, like, hit me as I was watching the match. I was like, oh, he's not going to be bald. And I was, like, a little disappointed because, like, Tozawa's got a pretty big head and he'd look pretty funny bald.
I mean, he would literally look like an egg.
He really...
I don't know if you know the manga One Punch Man.
No.
Well, look it up. Look up One Punch Man. Tozawa without hair or facial hair would literally look like One Punch Man.
Okay, I want to give a reference here too, which is a reference. Actually, I don't know if Case will get. I know Jules will get it. So there's a player on the baseball team, the New York Yankees, named Brett Gardner.
Yeah.
He shaved his head bald, and he looks like a fucking egg now. Doesn't he? That's what Tozawa would look like. And that, I want to be clear here. I don't like the Yankees.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll find a new Dragon Gate podcast if you.
I'm a Blue Jays fan.
I'm
okay?
a Detroit Tigers fan.
Wow. You got, why do you hate the Yankees? You eliminate them every year.
I know, it's nice. I don't want to not eliminate them every year. It's going to be a problem.
So this is open the baseball gate now.
I'm okay with that.
You're going to have to call Seikun Doi.
I did see the Yomiuri Giants. Case, you and I could. Oh wait, no, there won't be baseball by that point. That's the one.
We didn't go to Japan when there was baseball.
Yeah, that's the one that sucks about going in October. I think baseball's over already by then. Because the baseball game I went to was something. I mean, just say that. All right, no more baseball.
Time. Are we done?
I think we're done. Moving on to the Open the Twin Gate Championship match. T-Hawk and Big R Shimizu defeated Dragon Kid and Ida in about 16 minutes and 45 seconds. Big R pinning Ita with the shot put slam.
It got so hot in the second half.
Yeah, the first half.
So good, so good.
The first half was a little slow, but it really, really picked up by the end, and I enjoyed this a lot.
Dragon Kid did some like insane counters to whatever Big R was trying to do.
Yeah,
there's sequence in there of Dragon Kid going for the Super Hurricane Rana or the Dragon Rana, actually, flipping to his feet because T-Hawk got out of the way, and then right into the clutches of Big R, who went for this huge shot put slam, and then Dragon Kid caught him at a crucifix bomb, and I bought that near fall. I was blown away by this match and how good it got at the very end.
I remember that.
The
that
shot
was
put slam
so...
is the move in wrestling.
Yes. I mean, there's definitely a case to be made for that. Like, I mean, everybody's been putting it over, like, literal death.
Big R's pinned both Mochizuki and Shima with it. I was really surprised he didn't pin Dragon Kid here.
And
but...
he also pinned Yamato to win the titles.
You're right. I don't think anyone's kicked out of it.
I can't think of anyone right now.
It might. I feel like it would have happened like right after his transformation, because I know like in his debut match against Shingo when he became Big R, like Shingo kicked out of a lot in that match. But I don't think he kicked out of the shot put. And if it would have happened, it would have happened right after his debut. But recently, I mean, that's been the death blow.
Just really awesome.
Yeah, it was a hell of a good way to start the Big T title reign. I hope some of the people that freaked out when they beat Yamato and Doi are, like, a little calmer now. They're two good wrestlers. It's not going to be a disaster or anything. And they bring a totally different dynamic to these title matches now because you have these two big dudes, and it's like, who's going to be able to pin one of these big fuckers, you know? But, I mean, they seem unbeatable in a totally different way than Yamadoi seemed unbeatable, you know?
Yes. That's a good way of looking at it. It's a different kinds of unbeatable. I like that.
So that's Big T, and then we can transition to the main event. First of all, let's talk about how these people came out, because it was something. So Shingo has Punch Hominaga with him, and Punch is back to wearing a Shingo t-shirt and back to being like all
that was so
subservient.
Weird.
And then Shingo like throws him to the ground and makes him be his... human throne again, and it's like, okay.
Jules, don't take this the wrong way, but I wish, just, I know where your mind goes. I wish Shingo would have rode Punch to the ring like that. I mean, I wish Shingo would have gotten on his back.
I don't think Punch's frail body could have withstood that.
Like, he just crumbled.
His spine would have snapped into, like, a twig.
Yeah, you know Shingo's not giving him any love on there. He's going to stiff him and try to just put him into the ground.
So Naraki Doi has Shima and Gamma with him. They looked pretty much the same as always. Bring out... Shima had the damn shoe again.
Shima was wielding a single shoe, and my friend Alan the Road was so angry about it for like 2 days. He would not shut up about how angry he was about Shima's single fucking shoe.
And Gamma was they also had. Wielding. What else did they have too? They had something.
Well,
Gamma they didn't have
was,
the catapult.
Gamma was dual wielding bamboo sticks.
Okay.
And then at one point, Shima left. They got a Jugs gun, which for
and
those that
they
don't
had the
know, Yeah, I mean, it's like a jugs gun. It's like, you know, they've got a lot of different ones for different sports. Like, I've used some for batting practice where you feed a baseball and it shoots it out, and they had one for soccer balls, which was huge. And
wait, I thought they were volleyballs.
They might have been.
Yeah, that would make more sense than soccer balls, because why would you launch soccer balls up?
I think you're launching
volleyballs.
Football for the foreign fans.
So, like,
whatever.
Like, the real football, the European football.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, fuck American football anyway.
I agree with that, actually, John. But
good.
Yeah,
I'm glad we all agree with here.
Shima comes out like in like full like European football player mode for a while, and they're shooting soccer balls or volleyballs at people. That's the most creative spot I've seen in this match, because it worked. Like, those balls went flying up to the top of the cage, and they almost knocked a few fingers, like, way off. Love
it,
that spot.
Yeah, you could see the people on the cage were fucking scared shitless of that thing. Like, they looked, a few times they looked over, like,
this is frightening. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But it actually felt like a more extreme version of, I think it was last year, when Doi and Yoshino were shooting, well, baseballs. Where Doi was throwing and Yoshino was batting.
Yeah, in the 2011 match, I know Shima and Ricochet were using tennis balls and hitting them with tennis rackets. So I love the crossover in there.
That's just beautiful. And
so the next the next one was Yamato, who had Hollywood Soccer Ichikawa. And Ichikawa was the same as always, except he had a really, really, really long trident.
That was... I don't know what he was going to do with that.
Well, he poked people with it.
I know.
Yeah. Naoki had Ryu Saito. I don't really remember what Ryu Saito had. What did he have?
I'm going to tell you what he had.
He had the water balloon gun?
I'm going to tell you what he had. Are you ready?
Sure.
This is when the gay emotions come out. He was wearing a No Jimmies, No Life t-shirt in red, which was Naoki's color.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see how that would play with your gay emotions.
Right? I know!
Did he have the water balloon gun? Was I right about that? Or was that somebody else? I think that was him, right?
I think that was him.
I remember that he looked just really dejected. Like, he was like, how could this happen to
me? The official song of Open the Fourth Gate. Cybercom had Masaki Mochizuki,
who was
Super Karate Robot, whatever, NX, the upgraded version.
With the rocket punch. With
the rocket punch that responds to voice commands now, apparently. Yes.
And the best part about that was once Cyber Kong escaped, Mochizuki just dropped the gimmick. He was fine. He was free. It was over.
He just dropped it. He's like, all right, this is over. Like, he got his pin. I'm leaving. Well, he did bring the punch back at some point. I forget. What he did, but he brought the stick with the whatever. Anyway, so the last one, we saved the best for last. Kachoka came out with Tozawa.
Tozawa.
Paints. First of all, did you see that picture I put on my Twitter of him looking incredibly upset? Kachoka drags him away after Tozawa loses the delegate selection match. Tozawa looks so angry and so upset. Not angry, just like downtrodden at having to be Kotoka's delegate. When Kotoka grabs him and drags him away. Like a half hour later or whatever, he comes out with Kotoka. He's got the fucking face paint, the black face paint on. He's doing the blah, although he did so hard he made him choke. He's got a water gun. He's pointing at the camera and he's giving these maniacal evil smiles, and it's like, this fucking Tozawa will just throw himself into whatever situation he's given. Like, people on Twitter were like, this is not the first time he's thrown himself into a bad situation. It's like, yes. He's like, there's a stripping Nazi here. I'm going to become the best damn stripping Nazi there is. Oh, my partner's becoming really fat. I'm going to become really fat, too. It's like, he just throws himself into it. It's amazing. But, Tozawa.
I don't know if you noticed, John, or Case, that when Kotoka and Tozawa are making their entrance, Kotoka was walking a little bit further. Tozawa was actually aiming his water gun at Kotoka's head.
I did not notice that. I love that.
I didn't notice that either. That's pretty amazing. So, okay, so that's all the wrestlers and all their delegates. So
should we, real quick, just in case there are people listening to this that are maybe trying to get a better understanding of this match, should we quickly go through the rules of this match?
I guess we can try. You take it, Case. I don't want to do that.
Okay. So we just talked about the wrestlers and their delegates. Now, the goal of the match, there are six guys and five flags on top of the cage. So to win, or I guess to not lose, you have to go climb the cage and get one of the flags. But to be able to do that, it's sort of like King of the Mountain, where you have to gain a pinfall before you're allowed to climb. And when you gain that pinfall, your delegate's free. So he's no longer going to have his head shaved. Naruki Doi needed two because he had two delegates. That's pretty much it. You had to get a pinfall, and then you could climb, and then the loser had their head shaved, and that loser will be bald for a year.
No hair, no facial hair either.
Well, oh, yeah, Kotoko can't grow facial hair. Come on.
You can't either!
Oh, that's not true. It's not good facial hair, but it's there.
So, I guess we can get into the eliminations. The very first, or the pins, and then the escapes and all that. So, the first pin. Tanizaki pins Kotoka in 5 minutes with the implant. When Tanizaki did that, it's like, yep, that seems about right. So he gets pinned immediately. Tanizaki himself will get pinned by Cyber Kong a few minutes later with double impact. What the hell was that?
I was just looking at that. I wasn't sure what that move was.
Yeah, I forget what he did. It was probably something sloppy. Well, anyway, Yamato got the third pin with the Frankensteiner of the Almighty on Shingo, which was a fun little callback for people who remember that's how he beat Shingo for the title in Shingo's very first defense like 3 years ago.
In one of my favorite Dragon Gate matches ever, that title win for Yamato, and I don't believe Shingo's ever kicked out of the Frankensteiner, so we've got that to look forward to.
And then Shingo pinned Yamato about a minute later with the super stay dream off the top rope. So we're about 15 minutes in at this point. So Tanizaki, Kong, Yamato, and Shingo are all eligible. They've all got their pin. That freed Ryu Saito, Mochizuki, Stalker, and Punch. Now Punch, this is the funniest thing to me. Punch, everybody else, when they get free, they just leave, right? Punch, when he gets freed, immediately starts climbing the cage and tries to stop Shingo from escaping.
He will never forgive.
He's like, I'm going to get you back, motherfucker. You thought I was going to be your servant or something again? No. I'm coming for you again. That was awesome. The moment Shingo was able to escape, the moment Punch was free, he just started trying to screw over Shingo again. I think he might have actually even kept him from escaping, right? Didn't he at some point?
Yes. Yeah. It was Tagagi's first like real attempt, escape attempt, and Punch kept him up there. It was a really good spot because that's what let Tanizaki grab the flag.
Yeah. So Tanizaki escapes about 4 minutes after, and 18 minutes in the match.
Tanizaki did something really funny before escaping. I don't know if that was at that exact moment, but you know how he hits that. Well, all he does is knee strikes and stuff like that. He hits that knee drop from the top rope, like the opponent is held over somebody's knee, whatever, whatever. And he was about to hit that, and when he jumped, instead of hitting the knee drop, he, like, Spider-Man jumped onto the cage.
Yes, that was awesome. I remember this now, too. He was like, I'm gonna hit this knee drop. Ha, no, it was a fake.
Fuck you!
And about 1942, and Doi pinned Shingo. I don't remember. How did he pin him? Anybody know? He just says pin.
Up or something, but I can't remember.
Yeah,
I really couldn't remember that one. So that was his first pin. That did not free him from his rest, because he still needed to get a second pin. So Shima and... I thought, like, one of Shima and Gamma were going to be free, but they both kind of stayed out there, so I don't know if they were both still on the hook or what.
Well, I was thinking that in my mind, that I was like, how do they decide which one's free first?
Yeah,
and then it made sense. It made sense. Okay, both of them are still on the line here.
Yeah.
I think they were kind of arguing, actually, about who was going to be freed, so they just, like, both stayed.
Yeah. So Kotoka gets his pin on Doi with a schoolboy a couple minutes later.
After the confetti
gun,
which is my favorite weapon in wrestling.
What?
the streamer confetti gun that's only in this match. I've never seen it anywhere else in the world. It's made for the Dragon Gate Dead or Alive cage match, I'm pretty sure. I don't know what damage it does to a person besides like maybe blind them with sparkliness, but it just knocks people out.
A couple minutes after that, Cyber Kong escaped. That was when he started climbing, like he was going to do the elbow drop, and then was like, ah, screw this, we're just going to escape, right?
And typically, Cyber Kong trying to escape is my favorite part of the match. This year, they got it out of the way a little earlier than normal, so I was like, okay, there's not a lot of drama there. But 2011, trying to watch Cyber Kong escape before Yamato, it's one of the like most dramatic things I've ever seen in wrestling.
So yeah, he had a little easier time with it than people expected. Finally, 28:44 in, we have the Kotoka getting pinned by Doi with the Bakuteira sliding kick. So now all the delegates are freed. Everybody is eligible. Kong and Aoki are already out at this point. Shingo is the next escape. Is that after? That's after Naoki turns on Shingo, I think, right? Or Naoki turns on Yamato, I mean.
Yes.
So Naoki spits the red liquid in Yamato's face.
I don't know what that was. And I don't want to know. You know what? I don't want to know.
Yeah, so Naoki was the first person to turn on Yamato and go back with the rest of Berserk.
One thing, can I just say one thing that really amused me is how everybody stayed outside the cage, like all the delegates, just because they fucking hate Berserk so much.
I think I didn't see Saito towards the end, like maybe Saito left, but most of them were still out there by the end.
Just they fucking hate Berserk so much, Tozawa was hitting everybody with his pink hammer. I think there was like a megaphone involved at some point.
Yes, Punch had a megaphone.
Punch had a megaphone.
He climbed the cage at one point and just yelled into it to try to stop someone from escaping.
And
I was like, Punch.
I think Gama like poured milk on Kotoka at some point.
So Shingo escapes about 32 minutes in. Doi is the next one to escape, and Doi, of course, that escape came after we had that Passion of the Yamadoi thing where first Yamato has a chance to escape, and Doi is getting killed by, I think, Shingo and Kotoka, so he climbs back down to save Doi. Then Doi has a chance to escape when Yamato is down getting killed by Shingo and Kotoka, and this is the point where I thought the turn was going to happen. I thought Doi was just going to grab the flag and say, screw you, Yamato, and not, you know, like, reciprocate the save. But he climbed back down and saved him, and I was stunned. Okay, I guess Doi isn't turning on Yamato after all. And then he grabs the floor sign, the yellow, like, caution it is wet here sign, and goes to hit Shingo with it, and Shingo's like, no, stop! And Doi turns and hits Yamato.
It's funny how Yamato and Shingo were in almost that exact reverse situation 3 years ago.
Hmm. That's a good point, actually. So, Yamato betraying Shingo to turn heel. Yeah, it's true. So Doi nails Yamato and betrays him. All Berserk has betrayed Yamato. Yamadoi is no.
There he is.
So Yamadoi is no more. We all have to take a moment here to shed a single tear and say goodbye to one of the best tag teams of this decade. Goodbye, Yamadoi. Goodbye. Okay.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, so Shingo escapes, Doi escapes. It looks like Katoka's going to escape, especially when basically all Berserk is back in the ring and helping Kotoka. But then
they're dismantling the ring.
Yes, they start like taking apart the ring.
And they take out Yagi too.
Yeah.
Shingo takes out Yagi with the pumping bomber.
But then out comes KZ. Out comes Maria. And then out comes BB fucking Hulk. Go ahead and say it, Jules. I know you want to say it.
What? Mom?
Mom is back.
What is that?
BB Hulk runs
out. My mother finally came back.
BB Hulk runs out and, you know, gives the first flash to Shingo, and Yamato is able to escape.
And the first flash to Kotoka as well.
Yeah,
I
Yamato
miss the windmill arms so much.
Oh, the windmill arms look so good in this match. You could tell his shoulder wasn't about to fall off anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
So Yamato escapes, and after 46 minutes, Kotoka is the loser. He gets his head shaved. The red hair, like, falling off is really something.
He tried to escape.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying to make for, like, the ramp with Shingo, and then, like, Monster Express, Jimmy's, Overgeneration, and even Yuti and Fuji, they just come out on the ramp, and they're like, no, bitch.
The message, I guess, was, everybody hates you. Get back in there and get your fucking head shaved, you little ass.
He looked, literally, when he was, like, half-shaved and, like, with the mic on the floor, he literally looked like Gollum. Like, that was the image that popped into my head, like, immediately was like, Gollum, is that you?
Yeah, so he got his head shaved, everybody. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that happened.
Fuck you.
So, before we talk about the new unit, which is amazing, and all the post-match stuff, this match was everything I love about Dragon
There's
Gate.
Really, one thing that I wanted to say is that I've not seen, like, any promotion who is able to tell a story that is, like, self-contained into such a quote-unquote short amount of time with so many things happening and so many stories, like, evolving and happening and just, like, running into each other and make it happen so seamlessly and so beautifully.
References to their past, you know, Yamato pinning Shingo with the Frankensteiner,
mm-hmm.
referenced 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Everything just kind of comes together, and I feel like in any of the other, and I just want to know that I'm not taking a shot at any promotion, but I just feel like in a lot of other promotions, people would like might call this overbooked. When here with the history of Dragon Gate and the way the Dragon Gate has always done things, it just flows beautifully. Nothing feels out of place. Everything kind of just goes together like beautiful pieces of a puzzle, and it's just like really just a testament to that brand of storytelling the Dragon Gate have developed. That just really works for them.
Yeah.
And that it just and so, like, really, like, for example, I can't imagine a better way to make an instant hero out of someone in the way that they did with Yamato in this match.
Right. Like, if there's a way to, first of all, to turn somebody babyface, and second of all, to bring someone back and Hulk.
Mm-mm.
Like, that was the ultimate comeback and the ultimate babyface turn. That was amazing. And just the entire way they mix comedy with drama. Like, so much of this match is so fucking funny. But at the end of it, it's still like, someone's losing their goddamn hair.
I was like,
it's like
I was laughing my ass off 1 minute, and like in the final stretch and like the post-match, I was bawling. Just like,
yeah, I was
crying
like,
and
I was,
shaking. I couldn't do it anymore, man.
I was on the edge of my seat because I managed to avoid spoilers, and I really thought, it's like, oh shit, Yamato's going to lose his hair again. Because, like, I didn't see how he was going to get out of it until they all started running in and saving him, so.
I don't want to get into the is wrestling an art form discussion, because that's for another different podcast. But in my review, I didn't give this match a star rating, because I didn't really feel comfortable doing it, because I feel like that's missing the point of this match. Because this match was almost like a play or like just this act. There were so many things that happened, and it told this story that by the end, you saw everything unfold in front of you, and it's like, oh, this makes total sense. Like, the way they combined all these stories together was something that no other company could do, and I feel confident like, that
I
no
said,
other
yeah.
company could pull off a match like this. And I mentioned that in my review, and Jules said it. This is the only company that can do something like this, and they nailed it. I think this is the best cage match they've ever done. I loved it. I'm not going to give this match a star rating. I could see someone giving this match 5 stars on, you know, the scale if they really valued storytelling and if they really valued this product. It would make sense to me, because from a storytelling perspective, you're not going to find a better match than this.
Honestly, I completely agree with you, and this is going to sound like such a humble brag, but as someone who's, like, been studying literature and who's, like, really focused on screenwriting in my film studies, that's, like, a perfect example of, like, self-contained storytelling, but that also just takes from everything that happened in the past and projects us into the future. And that's, like, the best way to do things, pretty much. I mean, for me, personally.
Well, because it gave us hope, and it gave us that what's going to come next with Yamato, Hulk, Casey, and Maria, which is the most beautiful unit ever.
God, the beautiful people, truly.
I was going to say a heavy shot at TNA with their new beautiful people.
Dragon Gate political hits, hashtag it.
So, I mean, this match, it was beautiful. I think it's the best cage match, and I know we've got to wrap things up here in a minute. I just want to say that, one, I predicted the KZ, Yamato, Hulk, Santa Maria unit, and I'm very excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, the post-match stuff was amazing.
We predicted it.
We. That's the correct pronoun right here, Jules. I know you're big into pronouns. We predicted this.
We literally did. Like, the four of us.
We literally did, yes.
Like, three episodes ago. Like, I'm not making it up. I'm not a crackpot.
I don't think anyone accused you of that. That's your own allegation that you gave yourself.
Everybody, Jules, not a crackpot. Like Richard Nixon, not a thief or whatever. Not a crook. I messed up my own joke. Anyway, so the post-match, Yamato, he gives this big speech about how he can't see anything. He doesn't know anything. He's definitely not almighty. And KZ corrects him and is like, "No, I've known you since we both trained together, and you definitely are almighty."
I love that because I'm really interesting to see if he retains some element of that gimmick. And if he does, I'm really interesting to see how he makes it work while working face. I think it can work, but it's going to need some heavy, like, really character work. I think Yamato really proved in that post-match that he's incredible at the little things.
So, I was excited. It was, like, body positivity from Casey. He's like, "No, you're a star. You're the almighty." I loved it. I think the way that Yamato's been, like, he gets a face reaction when he does, like, his signature spots already. I think it's going to be toned down a little, and I think his entrance more than anything would change. But in terms of the act, I think it's going to stay very similar.
Yeah, and he gave that. I thought it was telling that he gave the coolest line at the end, but he made it was.
I love this that he still did it, but he included Hulk, Maria, and Casey.
Yep, I think that's kind of where they're going with this, like a nicer version of the Almighty.
That was beautiful. That really, like, when I read the review, like the report from Jay, I was like, I started crying again just seeing this. So it's like, really, it just made me really emotional to see, like.
No, I believe you.
Something like Jules emotional? You're kidding.
Listen,
I was a little emotional too. I'm not gonna lie.
It was an emotionally draining match. I mean, it was really, and I hate this comparison because I've. You know, on Pro Wrestling Only, which is a site that I mentioned on here, there's a big is wrestling art thread that's just, it's the worst thing ever. But I hate comparing wrestling to other things, but this was like a play or a movie in a sense. I mean, it really told a story that was deep, and I loved
that's
it.
That's not a bad thing.
Not at all.
That is not a bad thing. And I just really love the respect shown to Maria from people who have really mistreated her in the past. And just, I think that these four, they have a lot of heart. And that's...
Yeah, I wonder where they're going to go with, like, the theme of the unit, the name, the colors, and all that. Because to me, there isn't anything obvious.
Tune in to Open the Fashion Gate to find out.
Oh, you're gonna talk about your...
We're probably going to talk a little bit about it, yeah.
Jules has JPEGs up in her room already. She's predicted this. She's designed the outfit. She's ready to go.
Who is she?
Oh, shit. I do that once an episode.
You do. Well, you just did it like three times in a row, but...
Well,
it's okay.
You can listen to Jules on Open the Fashion Gate.
Yeah, can I just say... If this doesn't give me a North Tribe Twin Gate reign, I'm going to have to nuke the Dragon Gate headquarters.
Yes,
I have waited long enough. I did my time. 13 years of it in Azkaban.
That's where I immediately went to this. I really hope we get... Yamato is going to win the dream, obviously, from Shingo. I think that's pretty clear now. But I really hope we get a Hulk KZ Twin Gate reign.
That would be like the best possible outcome for me. I feel like I've waited my entire life.
All right, so an amazing cage match, an amazing match. I think we're all in agreement. Fantastic. Out of words to say about it. Seeing Kotoka bald is going to be fun.
Oh, God.
All right, let's very, very quickly do King of Gate.
Okay, yeah, real quickly, because I got to get going. Yeah.
The A block, we have Shingo, Yamato, Fuji, Kanda, KZ, and Punch. I think it's pretty clear Yamato's coming out of this block.
Yeah, because remember, King of Gate's different this year, it's not confirmed, but Jules and I had this discussion on Twitter. It looks like the King of Gate winner is going to challenge at Kobe this year instead of in Fukuoka like they normally do.
The finals of King of Gate is in Fukuoka on the day that the King of Gate title...
the title challenge normally is. So, yeah, it's looking like Yamato in the A block. He wrestles Shingo in the main event of Cork and Hall. I don't know when that is, but I will say this. The King of Gate Cork and Hall show is the 11th.
May 11th, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
one of the best shows of the year every year because it's a bunch of hot singles matches in Cork. And the 2014 show, it was, I don't know why I remember this. It was May 9th, 2014. Like a sleeper show of the year candidate that year, you had T-Hawk and Tozawa in the main event, and the semi-main, you had a Monster Express Millennials match where Ricochet and Flamita got to wrestle each other. These shows are always fun. Crowd's really hot. Looking forward to that show a lot.
All right, so the B block.
There's other matches on that show. The other matches on that Korakuen show are Bedar versus Gama, Tozawa versus Eita. I'm excited to see how this measures up to almost a year apart from their Bravegate match at World last year, because I'm still a big proponent of Eita, and I think he really just needs to find his niche to shine through as a singles competitor. So I'm really excited to see how this one plays out. And then there's T-Hawk versus Mochizuki, so you can find me in the ER during that match.
T-Hawk's going to get murdered.
Alright, so the B block has Shima, Susumu, Tozawa, Eita, Maria, and Mandai Ryu. This is a more difficult one to call. I would lean towards Susumu, I could see Shima or Tozawa as well, but Shima seems like he's taking a back seat, and Tozawa is about to leave for the Cruiserweight Series thing. So I'll say Susumu.
I'm gonna go with Susumu also.
I'm excited for every Santa Maria match, especially versus Susumu. The beautiful people.
I don't know how many of those are going to make tape. That's the problem with King of Gate is there's a lot of fun singles matches that never air.
Stop chilling my dreams.
I want to see Santa Maria. I'm all aboard the Santa Maria train right now.
Yeah.
All right, so who do you have coming out of this block? Jules? Susumu? Okay, it's really good.
I wanted to say Kozawa, but it's true that there's the problem with the fucking Cruiserweight Classic Series Triple H grocery shopping trip, so...
Case I made the same joke just now. Alright, C block. T-Hawk, Ryu Saito, Mochizuki, Dragon Kid, Cybercom, Kotoka. Mochizuki always makes a run in this tournament, I feel like. I'm gonna give him the block.
Ooh, I'm going to give Dragon Kid the block. I don't think he'll win, but he's a credible opponent that someone can beat later on. It'll be like, oh, he got to win over Dragon Kid. That's huge.
But you can make that argument about Mochi as well.
I think Mochi's in that upper tier where I don't think he's going to lose to just anyone. He could lose to Yamato, and it would make sense. But I think DK is going to be the guy that really eats that last pinfall.
I like that idea. I like it. I had T-Hawk.
But
I had T-Hawk initially, but I don't think that it would be a good thing. It was just like my personal like feeling. So I'm aboard the Dragon Kid train. You got me there.
Okay. So D block: Yoshino, Doi, Gamma, Genki, Big R, and Lindemann. I think Doi is taking this because I think the finals are going to come down to Yamato and Doi.
I would love for it to be Doi. I think that's what I said last time. I don't remember.
That would make sense. The issue with that is that I don't think they're going to do that singles match. I think that would be a Dangerous Gate or a Gate of Destiny singles match. Now, of course, if you give me the book, Lindemann's winning. He's shooting on Shingo in the main event. But what are you going to say, Jules?
You said so many things at the same time.
I'm sorry. I did talk fast.
Do you think they're going to keep Doi versus Yamato for maybe a Yamato Dreamgate Dreamgate title defense?
Yeah, because the problem is that if Yamato beats Doi here, then there's no way they're going to let Doi challenge at Dangerous Gate or Gate of Destiny, and so I think they're going to hold off on that. Horiguchi always does really well in these tournaments. El Numero Uno 2003, and then he won the King of Gate in 2012. So I could see...
He was so proud of that. He wore that tank top for like 4 years.
Love it. He might still bust out that tank top. It wouldn't shock me.
I think he's going to show up to the tournament in that tank top.
I hope he does.
Like, remember!
This one's tough, because I don't think it's going to be Doi. I think that's too obvious for the way Dragon Gate books. But at the same time, this is a block sort of full of baby faces.
I want Linda to win the block, but I think...
Oh, I want Linda to win everything. Well, do we know how this is going to work? Who's wrestling each other in the finals? Is it?
I think it's block? Like... I think it's...
It doesn't say. It just says King of Gate 2016 semifinals.
If
Yamato
yeah.
wins Block A, there's no way he wrestles someone from Block D, because Block D is full of heavy baby faces, mm-hmm. and they need a strong heel to go.
I guess we predicted baby faces in everyone, huh? I think it's A Block versus B Block finalist and C Block versus D Block finalist in the semifinals. Not sure. Don't quote me on that. But
well, okay.
I have Big R winning D Block.
I'm gonna go with Big R also.
I would love for it to be Linda, but it's gonna be Big R.
It's not gonna be Linda, which sucks. I just hope they don't make him lose every match.
Case, how hyped are you for Linda versus Horiguchi if it makes tape?
Oh my god. I mean, it's like my two favorite wrestlers in the world. And they're like undercard wrestlers for like this company that's got outstanding main eventers. Linda Man Horiguchi is like my dream match at this point.
I have no idea when that's happening. I'm like,
it's happening in Kanagawa, so I doubt it's going to make tape, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's happening in Kanagawa, so I doubt it's going to make tape, unfortunately.
Oh, fuck my life.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Can we
get someone in the crowd to film that?
I wanted to tell Jay for like the Shingo homecoming show with Sekimoto and Okabayashi on it. I was like, just like pull out the iPhone, see what happens. If Gayor is not going to tape it, then someone needs to.
I swear. So
you take Big R in the D block. Okay. I'm going to stick with Doi, but I can see your point.
Yeah,
anyway,
absolutely.
Let's wrap this up now and say, who's winning King of Gate? I wonder.
Yamato!
Okay, yes, it's going to be Yamato. Who the fuck else could it even be?
There is no more doubt in my mind. And I know that it's very dangerous to say that with Dragon Gate, but that would be like a missed golden opportunity to not have Yamato win King Gate, so he has to.
Yeah, I'm with Jules on this one. Dragon Gate booking's always tough to predict because they don't do the obvious thing, but here I think they've got to go with Yamato, and I think they realize that.
Mm-mm. So I think Yamato's going to lose that first match to Shingo, and then he's going to pull out the block anyway.
Yeah.
And then we'll basically get the Kobe World match of Shingo being like, I beat you.
You think Shingo is winning your Twitter twin?
Yeah, because it makes more sense, I think.
Because one, Yamato can get his revenge, and two, Dragon Gate, they just have a bad habit of never having the new unit win, like, their first big match. Matt Blakey lost in their debut, so I don't see any way Yamato wins in that main event.
Okay, just a question for you guys. Since we're talking about units, do you think we see a Verzerd versus the Beautiful People unit, losing unit disband match down the line somewhere?
I think Verzerk's going to implode on its own.
Yeah? I think so too, but, you know, I just want to kind of weigh the possibilities, but I really think that Verzerk is, ultimately, even with Yamato gone, there's like a too high concentration of egos. Like, even...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hmm?
Yeah, I was agreeing with you, Jules.
Everybody agrees with Jules.
Sorry, right. my internet is dying.
So let's wrap this up, everybody.
I think that's like the shortest podcast we ever recorded.
Yes,
but
I mean
it's
we said from.
I'm like hot right now. No, like not like that. It's hot in my room. Shut the fuck up. But I'm not opening my window anymore because there was a spider in my room. Chase.
What?
I'm going to bomb your high school. John, I'm going to bomb the entirety of the Bronx.
Wow, that's a lot of people you're going to be killing.
No, I'm kidding, but yeah. We just got really excited, you know?
So Jules is going to bomb stuff because we got excited, guys.
But you made fun of me! Jules, cut that out of the podcast. I want people to think I'm even more of a psychopath than they already think I am.
That's going to get clipped.
I am not cutting that.
Upload it.
It's
going to be looped.
I fucking hate you. I can't believe...
Hey, Jules, plug some stuff.
You would do this to me, your own mother.
Jules, plug some stuff before you make any more death threats.
No, I'm not plugging anything. Oh yeah, I'm telling you right now, this has nothing to do with Dragon Gate, but I'm going to make a PNG file, or PSD file, or whatever, and I'm going to make a Kento Miyahara pointing at stuff Twitter account. That was the plug.
Okay, well, you can follow Jules on Twitter. I don't know how to pronounce your name. It's like Sugawara with like 3 U's and like 15
two
U's.
Two U's. Enough U's for now.
And then you can see her pin tweet, which is her Kushida. It's their Kushida project. I stopped myself. I got it this time. It's their Kushida project, and that's been really entertaining. Jules has just watched a bunch of Kushida matches, and they're good at that. You can follow me on Twitter @_inyourcase and listen to me on the DKP show with friend of the show Alan Forel. We talked about the greatest wrestler ever and how I got into wrestling. It's a very fun show. And, yeah, that's all I got.
I can never listen to that one.
Is it because you... I'm gonna see what I can do. I'm going to see if I get you a link.
And I'm going to be right here on Open the Voice Gate. I don't really have anything else going on, I don't think. All right. Everybody else is doing stuff. I'm just chilling over here.
I can't believe I just embarrassed myself like this and you guys let me do it.
Jules, you worked yourself into that one.
You're, like, the worst friends ever.
That's not nice.
What?
That's really not nice.
I don't mean it, but you could have stopped me before I started saying all sorts of dumb shit before people start going on about quote-unquote Dragon Gate Twitch again.
I was so just... I had no idea where you were going with that. I didn't know you were going to start talking about bombing.
It did take a real hard left there. I was like, following? Oh, that took a weird turn. So for Open the Voice Gate, this has been Case Low. We've got John, and we've got Bomb Threat Jules over there. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
I'm the French bomber after Pineapple Bomber and Pumping Bomber. You have the French bomber. That's my finishing move when I meet the two of you.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm going to get going, but that was a fun show. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody.